This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 6, commencing at verse 4, and can be found on page 1069 of the Church Bibles. 1069. It's entitled, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Thank you, Chris, for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to look at your word, pray that you will open our minds and our hearts to what you have to say to us. Amen. Harvest. I think harvest is a great time of year. And a lot of people, or not a lot, quite a few, friends and that, when I've said, "Oh, we're having a harvest on September the 10th. And they go, "Isn't that a bit early?" And I've gone, "No, because I know where I used to live, they were harvesting in July and August." And this week, I happened to be watching the One Show one day, and what did they talk about? Harvest. So I thought, no, we're not too early. We're just about right. If it's on the BBC, it must be right. There's only the Daily Mail that's more right than the BBC. But why do I enjoy harvest? Because it talks about the faithfulness of God. Being a scientist, as I was, and you know, God has constructed everything so we have the seasons, and harvest is part of those seasons. It comes around and we produce the produce. But we're going to look at one of the miracles of Jesus, the only miracle that actually occurs in all 4 Gospels. Occurs in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, this feeding of the 5,000. John only actually chooses 7 miracles, and there is a thought that his book is divided, his gospel, into 7 portions. And he tells us right at the end, he says to us, "Now Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So we're going to look at the miracle. It must be important because it occurs in all 4 Gospels. When God repeats something, he means us to listen. So, the feeding of the 5,000. The problem, you know, is with it that we all know the story. very well. I should imagine that most of us know the story. So we can easily skip over it. We can easily not actually read it properly. Now, the first words are some that we miss. It says the Jewish Passover feast was near. One sentence. A sort of almost throwaway line by John. So it's the Passover. We think, so what? Well, the first time in the Gospels that we read of the Passover in relation to Jesus is when he was 12. We're told in Luke's Gospel that every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. Passover was an important time, and they would make this pilgrimage every year. People, therefore, would be streaming to Jerusalem, the centre, to commemorate the fact that the angel passed over the houses of the Egyptians and the Israelites in Egypt when they were slaves. But the Israelites were told to spread the lamb's blood on the doorposts and the lintels and other various things. And so only the firstborn of the Egyptians died, but not of the Jewish homes. They were safe. So these people were going to Jerusalem to commemorate that. But on the way, they heard about this miracle worker, this preacher. And so some of them veered off. There's plenty of time. So they went to listen. And we know that it was in early spring. Why do we know it was in early spring? Because John says there was plenty of grass. Oops, that's too far. Says there was plenty of grass to sit down on. About 5,000 of them sat down. Mark's Gospel tells us the grass was green. If you've ever been to Palestine, to Israel, you will know that in the summer, the sun beats down and the grass goes red. Even my back lawn goes red? Who said red? Yellow. That was a colour I was looking for. Yeah, yeah. I knew it was a primary colour. Yellow. And, you know, our back gardens, you know, the grass goes yellow in the summer. But there, it's summer, it's yellow most of the time. So the fact that the grass is green tells us something. So they've been there, out in the sunshine, listening to Jesus. They're now sitting on the grass. And Jesus turns to Philip, one of his disciples, and says, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, why ask Philip? Well, Philip came from the area, so he would know the best Aldi's, Lidl's, Tesco's, Sainsbury's to go to, or the shops to go to in the area. He would know where the bakeries were and things like that. And Philip, you can tell, is a man, not just by his name. But what does Philip do? He goes straight into problem solving, which is often a male trait. And he says, 8 months' wages. Well, he has a quick look round. 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And I've got to think, how much is that? But I need some help. Do I have a maths teacher in the congregation? Anybody with a degree in maths? Anybody with A-level in maths? So, oh, Sam. Yep, carry on, Sam. Yep, you volunteered. Well, can you come up here, Sam? Sorry. Right. Now we need to know first the average wage of somebody in this country. 27,600, right? Yeah. See them at the back? They're a bit short-sighted, so you need to make it nice and large, right? So, that's it. You've now got to work out 8 months' wages from that. Oh, 27,000 times 8 over 12.
You want 8 months off that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I haven't got a phone on me.
Could use it, but...
Have you got one?
Yeah.
Oh, go on then. 18,400, yes. So, this is it. That's the easy one. Right. Remember, it says we 5,000 men.
Yeah.
How much would that be per head? And we won't give you any pressure. Sound. Eight. 368. Yep. This could be your big bid for Countdown. You could be the first male mathematician on Countdown.
That would be a bad idea.
That would be a bad idea. Yep, 368 per head, which is a reasonable amount. But we're told that Philip is only really asked a question to test him. That's why he's been asked the question. And Philip, did he have enough faith to trust Jesus or not? There was no way that day they were going to get £18,400. But what's going to happen? Well, let's move on. We're told that Andrew comes up with his little boy, with his 5 barley loaves, not very big, and 2 bits of fish. Two bits of fish. We're not told how it's said, you know, could have been sarcastically. Well, we can't afford to buy the food, but here is some sort of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Or it could have been done as a starter. Well, this boy's willing to give food, maybe others will. Maybe it'll be like one of Ashurst Jive Baptist Churches bringing share lunches, where food always seems to be left over at the end. We never know. Or it could have been just a statement of fact. Here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So then Jesus takes over, tells everybody to sit down. That's right, you're going to be inundated with people in a minute, okay? Don't worry. So this is why I need 12 volunteers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and we'll have Binu number 12. So if you would like to come up to the front, not you, Dawn, and just sort of come and stand sort of up here behind myself and Sam. You are the 12 disciples on that day, all right? And we'll just move that forward. You might need to flick that over. Okay, but before you can start distributing food, we've got to think about some numbers. Now, it says there were 5,000 men. Now, there were probably some women, but they only mentioned the men in those days because it was a male-orientated society and that women weren't considered so important. Of course, we've learnt now that they're more important. So, what percentage of men? I'll ask you, what percentage of men might bring along a wife? You know, remember they were streaming to Jerusalem to practice the Passover. They only allowed one wife, by the way. Shall we say took half of them? 50%? All right.
50%.
Right. Are you ready? You got 5,000 men.
Yeah.
You've then got to add on 50% for the women. And we've probably got some children. Let's say each of the couples, no, there's not 7,500 women. That's, might be nice, but for some, for the 5,000 men, but not for, let's say each married couple has a child. It makes the maths easy as well. Because that's 2,500 children, so that means you've got 10,000 in all. Actually, if you go back to the 8 months, if there's 10,000 people in the in the sort of crowd, that means only £1. I read 84 per head, which is getting a bit low.
The women might have all been left at home where they
belong. No, because if you read the account of Luke, it said when Jesus, his parents went every year to Jerusalem, and Jesus only started going when he was 12. I thought that as well, June, as well. I looked it up. What I think used to happen is that some of the women would stay at home to babysit for some who were going. So some would be going and not all of them. Right. Let's say, for instance, as we've got, this is the maths gets a bit harder now. We've got 12 disciples here. How many people have each one got to serve? Shh. You see, rocket scientists, they just think they know everything. 800 and something, yes.
Do you want to write the
800? Yeah, you need to work it out. No, it's actually 833, but don't worry about it. No, go for 833. Actually, it's point something or other, because that only gets to 9,996. Yeah. Oh, there's always some awkward ones. Right. Now let's imagine Jesus has said the prayer and you've just been given loaves and fishes. What you now have to do is distribute them. All right? And remember, you're giving out, let's say for instance you've been there all day, you need a couple of rolls, that's what they were, and a couple of bits of fish. Right. Go. Keep going. So you have to carry something, yes. And start giving it out. And hang on, so it's Donnie. No, we don't just throw it at people. Dear, we give it out nicely and just think about this. So it's probably going to go one Mississippi, giving out it, three Mississippi, I'm up to four. Probably with the fish, five. And then, of course, I see a friend, so I have a little chat. So let's say it's 10 seconds for each person. Okay? So start going. So work out how long would that be?
So 10 seconds per person.
10 seconds per person. So it's that multiplied by 10. Yeah. That.
You want it in hours?
Minutes. Divided by 60. Right. Yeah, that'll do. Put minutes, mins. Okay, you can start to come back, disciples. Start to come, very good. Oh, he's got smarties. Some disciples were more initiative taking than others. You haven't finished yet. And whilst you've been doing that, Sam has been working out the miracles of modern phones and has calculated that operation would have taken 138 minutes. That's just over 2.25 hours. I didn't appreciate that until I actually worked out the arithmetic. It wasn't, we tend to read, Jesus said a prayer, food distributed, 2 seconds later, they're all back again. But it took 2 hours at least. Yeah, because I'm sure, 10 seconds maybe, but I'm sure there were people there who they stopped and had a little natter to as they were walking around. So that would have delayed them. God works miracles. Sometimes they're not always the instant sort. Sometimes they take time to do. I wonder, as the disciples went round, when it dawned on them that they were part of a miracle. Something they could miss. It was beginning to already dawn on the people, because we read right at the end, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. We also need to say, are we ready to work for God? Even if it means being a waiter or waitress. Because that's effectively what they were being that day. Not the highest task, we might say, in the world. But we should be prepared to do whatever for God. So we move on. People have been, you've all been given your food. And notice, you don't drop any fish, but you drop bread on the floor whilst you're eating it. Because that's what it says. The disciples went round and picked up the bread in the baskets. Now, this is a very odd thing, because A, where did they get the baskets from? And two, what was the size of the baskets that you're going to collect? Well, I think we sometimes get the impression that a basket is almost, some of them are this size, a sort of very small one. Sometimes we think that they're this size, a basket. But actual fact, if you look into the word, the basket is bigger than an Aldi's bag. It's bigger even than a Sainsbury's cool bag. It's probably even bigger than one of these. The impression I got when I was reading it and doing the research, that's the word kophinos in Greek, which you all knew. They're sort of like that size. They are big baskets. What they struck me as were the sort that tea planters have, or tea pickers, I should say. It's that sort of size. Now, why would they have baskets that size? Well, remember, they're travelling to Jerusalem for the festival. They may be staying somewhere a few nights, so they would take things they needed with them. And that's what the size... So now all you've got to do is imagine you put your basket on and start going to collect. So please, can you collect the food? Sorry? From say the people. We'll make it easier for the people. Otherwise, you've got to tread on somebody. And I think actually it's probably easier because you're walking along, people are going to throw it in the back rather than thing. It will be probably about 5 seconds. 5 seconds, I think. Yeah. 69, yeah. See, so, okay, when you've collected, you're quicker collecting than you were giving out. Do come back to the front. And all this time, whilst they were giving out the food, whilst they're collecting all the bits, Jesus is talking and preaching to the people. So at lunch today, when we're giving out the food and when we're collecting up all the empties, Amuta is going to carry on preaching and teaching to us all. No, she's not. No, she's not. Really. We're not going to do that to you. But that was what Jesus would be doing. How else are you going to fill the 2.5 hours, the 2 hours with at the first and then the hour with afterwards? Jesus could carry on speaking. So, look, I think we'll have a big hand for my disciples. And an even bigger hand for my mathematical assistant. Thank you. Nothing if not least, you can actually say Jesus was an ecologist. He would have been a member of the Green Party, or at least of a deer tour. The number of notices I see when I go for a walk in Valentine's Park that say, do not feed the birds with bread or leave bread around because of rats. Encourages them to be there. Joe Public often leave things lying. This is not from Valentine's Park, but it's a poster from Brent Council. I thought it was quite novel, having the rat on top of the pigeon's head, if you look carefully. But basically it says the same thing. So they didn't want to leave all those scraps on the hillside. They didn't want to leave that. Jesus wanted it all cleared away nicely. So the whole feeding of the 5,000 took the 3 hours, because they probably, as they finished feeding them all, they then carried on and clearing up all the scraps. Thing to note is, Jesus was totally in control of all that time. He knew that they weren't going to buy the food. He knew that there was going to be a miracle. He knew, and he directed the disciples to take the message, or the message of the food out, and then to clear it up on them. But then Jesus says, it says in that last verse that Chris read, Jesus, knowing that the crowd intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. He wasn't doing it to bring himself grandeur. He had compassion for the crowd. They'd been there all day. They needed food, and he was going to give it to them. Acts of kindness we can do, not for our self-aggrandizement, but just because we want to do somebody an act of kindness. And that can often floor them. The fact that God is in control can often floor people as well. I got a couple like this appear at my door this week. Very smart. The gentleman wasn't them, because you can tell that's not me really at my door. And he was carrying a clipboard with a leaflet. And he said, oh, good morning. How are you? I said, I'm fine. And he said, do you think the world's getting better or worse? And actually, as soon as I opened the door, I thought to myself, Jehovah's Witnesses have that sort of look. I wonder if people open the door to us and go, Christian. Because we have that sort of look. Yeah, I don't know. Mormons have a different look. But these were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I say this sort of, in a way, throws them a bit off guard. Because I said, actually, I don't know whether the world's getting better or worse, but I know who's in control. That's God. And they sort of went, oh. Because that's not in the script. I'm not supposed to say that. And then I usually come clean and say, by the way, I'm the minister of the church that's just around the corner. And they go, oh, we don't want to take you from your church. And I go, yeah, you do, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Because that's what happens, that's what they want. But so they were very polite. They didn't give me the leaflet. They didn't think I was worth it. Oh. But they went off. God is in control. No matter how good or bad things are, God is still in control. We celebrate harvest. We've learnt at the feeding of the 5,000. A celebration of food. A celebration that those 5,000 plus, probably 10,000 people had that day. God is in control. To add just a testimony at the end, in the last church, we had a farmer. Because it was in the country. We had more than one farm, but one farm particularly. And he farmed with his brother. They were a mixed farm. Meant they had cows, which they milked every day, because they had to. But they had arable. They grew crops. But they made it a pact, both of them were Christians, that they would never harvest on a Sunday. No matter how good the weather was, no matter how bad the weather forecast seemed for the week to come. And he said, we have always been honoured by making that stand. You could see other farmers going around with the combines, but they never did, because they knew God was in control. He also said, yes, sometimes we get a low harvest, other years we get a good harvest. We don't moan when we get a low one, we praise God when we get a good one. And they all equal themselves out. We have a tremendous message to give to people about the faithfulness of God. But do we take that task? Do we actually take it out to people? And then do we follow up as they did that day? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you showed on that day that you had everything just in so much control. Lord, we know that you are in control of things, even though at times it seems as if things on this earth are out of control. But Lord, pray that we may live, therefore, knowing and living as if you are a faithful God, rather than relying on our own strength, relying on us, but that we rely totally on you in all circumstances. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.